Blog Talk Radio.
Here we go. Oh, the original. Here from the original Onion. Exactly what we didn't want to start with, but welcome one, welcome all to Eerie House Radio. We've got a very, very special guest today. Roxy Tyler, as we announce her return right here on Eerie House Radio. Roxy, welcome to Eerie House.
Hey, thanks for having me.
No problem. It was very exciting to hear you're releasing a new show starting later this month, and you've got some exciting information, and we're going to talk all about your show.
Yay, I love talking about me and my show.
Now, it's called Roxy Tyler's House of Horrors.
Yes, it's called Roxy Tyler's House of Horrors. It's a docu-comedy series about what the hosts do when they're not working at the Carnival of Horrors, which was my previous show. And basically, mm-hmm. two narcissistic, abnormal people failing at living normal lives. And it's all seen from the perspective of a camera crew, mostly through the camera of a super fan whom they unlovingly call Stalker.
Okay. So it's a point of view type camera shoot.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like kind of in the vein of The Office and Modern Family, except the cameraman actually interacts with everybody who's in front of his camera, and they interact with him too.
That's a unique idea. I like this. And, I see that the Horror Society did a nice write-up for you. There's a link in there. Folks, I encourage you to go check it out. You can check the links up on Roxy's page and throughout Eerie House and everywhere else. I plastered it on the internet. But there's a great animated intro that was put together for this show. I love the roller coaster ride because it sets the the excitement level, you know, way up there. And
thank you. Well, that's not it's not a very original idea. I'm sorry I cut you off.
No, that's okay.
We based that theme intro on the cartoon for Beetlejuice in the 90s. There's a lot of similarities between our intro and that intro. It's kind of like the Roxy perspective of the Beetlejuice intro.
Yeah, an homage.
Yeah, an homage. There's a lot of homages to TV shows in my show.
I like doing that. In Spook Show, my kids are really good at satire, and we would pay homage to different things. And even if we were doing a skit that was a spoof of one idea, there'd be references to others within the show. And that's my favorite kind of humor. I'm looking forward to this.
Oh, good. I'm glad. Yay. I'm looking forward to it, too.
So tell us about the animated piece. A little bit before the show we were talking, and you had some information about how it was put together.
Yeah, thankfully my cousin David Getchman, he is a visual effects artist, and he learned animation when he was in, I think he went to art school, I don't know which school he went to, but he learned animation, but he never really got hired to do it. So back when we did Carnival of Horrors, there was a lot of talk about what if we changed up the intro and made it a cartoon intro. Like my husband would say that all the time. I think my friend Chuck did. And so for this one, I said, hey, I'm going to ask David to do an animated intro. And I had a complete story for the intro, like me and Chuck are leaving the Carnival of Horrors, and we take this roller coaster all the way to the House of Horrors, and bam, there we are. And my cousin David, like I said, David Getchman, he did a really good job, and I'm so proud of him, and I just couldn't be happier with it.
Yeah, and we'll play again. You just heard in the background a little bit the animated theme from Roxy's House of Horrors. Here, let's
done by
to it
Mr.
Right
Potent.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Music by Mr. Potent. Let's check it out.
Hey,
amazing.
Well, just like I said, go over to that Horror Society page and look for those links. Check it out. You'll be excited for the release on January 28th. And you're going to put it up on Vimeo and YouTube?
Yes, once a month.
Awesome.
The Vimeo link is vimeo.com/Carnival of Horror. That's the easiest one to get to.
Okay, and I see
Vimeo.
On YouTube, it's youtube.com/user/RT, Carnival of Horrors. You can see it there,
yes.
Too. But I'm sure you'll be putting up links, and feel free to put them on my pages. Feel free to put them on any of my pages at any time.
Thank you.
That's what the Eerie House is about. We're about the horror hosts. We're about the movies, fantasy, sci-fi, and horror, of course. All of it. And this is a neat, different thing. I don't think this has been done before.
I hope not. Even if it is, I don't know. We just wanted to do something different. It was ambitious, though. It sounded really easy to do at first, and then we jumped into it, and it was a lot of work, but I think it paid off. I think people are going to like it.
Are you using a lot of the sets from Carnival of Horrors, or is this more like this is your real life, this is the household, and this is what these two horror hosts or these two characters and the dichotomy between them is? Is it more about that?
It's more about that, but you do see, after we finished Carnival of Horrors, we took all the sets down, and that place is now a completely different place on our property. So we just still have the Roxy curtain, the red and striped curtain, so we just throw that up whenever we want to resemble the set.
There you go. Don't feel bad. Right now, Spook Show is like a big green screen. That's about it.
Oh, boy. Been there,
for the
too.
Time being. A lot of chaos in Castle K. We got kids moving out and furniture flying everywhere.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. So, in addition to, your husband is Mr. Potent. The show also features John Martineau as the manager.
Yes.
And you mentioned
John Martineau.
David Geckman as Wolfgang.
Yeah, and my Chuck Mayer reprises his role as Count Chocula, who was in Carnival of Horrors. It's mostly about Roxy and Chuck.
I see. And there's also Melissa O'Donnell as Christina. And tell us about her character. She sounds interesting.
She is interesting. In the pilot, Roxy reveals to the manager, just nonchalantly, that she has to run things by her life coach, and nobody knows what she's talking about. Apparently, there's a ghost that is living out purgatory in her bathroom because she hung herself in that bathroom in 1961. So that ghost was there when Roxy moved there, and she goes to the bathroom to get life advice from this ghost.
Oh, wow. I guess from the shower curtains. I was thinking, how does one hang oneself in a bathroom? I guess there's ways.
Yeah, there's different ways. And she's dressed like a ghost, but I don't think we actually got into her backstory too much. She was dressed as a ghost when she did it because she was at a Halloween party in the 60s when she hung herself in the bathroom. So.
I see.
And
well,
me and Melissa.
To talk to now.
Yeah, exactly. And I have her, and we're Team Roxy. And Melissa's an awesome actress. She was from the Philly area, and she just moved to New York. We get along famously, and on our personal time, we like to talk about bathroom humor, pretty much. So that's how that character came about. So it's pretty much written for her because all we talk about is poops and farts and peeing, and that's our friendship in a nutshell.
Yep. Fart humor will never die.
It won't.
It's extra funny for me because old school guys aren't used to girls talking about that kind of stuff, you know?
Yeah, Roxy doesn't really fancy herself too much as a girl. Sometimes she forgets that she's not a guy.
Well, she's a great character, and you have a unique look that's very easy to identify, and they did a great job of capturing that, and as well as Mr. Potent and the Count and everybody in the animated intro.
Yeah, David, geez, like, he was just amazing with it. I can't get over how amazing the intro came out.
I'm always impressed by people who have the patience to do that kind of art. You know what I mean?
Yeah, me too. Yeah.
I mean, not just the animated piece of it, but the actual art itself. And
yeah.
He did a great job of capturing your guys' likenesses in a caricature form, you know?
Yeah, me and Chuck just want to be cartoons now. We wish we could have done the whole show as a cartoon, but there's only one David, and David was he'd be so overhauled with work.
How long will a season run?
About 9 episodes.
Okay, so you'll have like a 9-month season. That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's awesome. So starting in January and all the way out through September, gang, we're going to get some Roxy Tyler's House of Horrors.
And January 28th, we're not just premiering the pilot. Like I told you, I had some exclusive info for you and your show.
Exclusive info.
We're doing a double episode on the premiere date. We're going to do the pilot, and we're going to do the Valentine's Day episode. We're going to air both of them on the same day, mostly because the pilot, it's coming out so late in the month, and the other reason is because the pilot, you don't get a lot of what the show is about just from the pilot. We spend time in the pilot just meeting all the people at the House of Horrors, so from there you can go right into the second episode, which is the Valentine's Day episode called Date Night of the Damned.
It sounds like junior high for me. Date Night of the Damned, that's going to be something to look forward to. So that'll be part two of a double feature on release January 28th, coming to an internet near you.
Yes.
Mark your calendars. Set your event pages. It's coming, gang. Now, this is a sort of a spinoff to the earlier Roxy Tyler's Carnival of Horrors, right?
Yes, yes it is. Kind of like, I like to think of it kind of as like a sister show, because like, I mean, we want to host a little bit every now and then, but we're not going to be as committed to it as we used to be. Like, I always wanted Carnival of Horrors to be self-sustaining. Like, I want to show our own works on Carnival of Horrors, which kind of like a variety show, only it's horror and it's all of our stuff. You know, you see us as carnival characters, and then you go to the movie and you see us in these completely different characters doing this horror story. You know, I always wanted to do something like that. So it's something that I have in the back of my brain to keep Carnival of Horrors alive. Like, maybe twice or three times a year we'll actually do a Carnival of Horrors episode with our own short films that we make.
That's excellent. So you're not doing any of the classic horror hosting at this time?
Nah. I figure there's enough people doing it, and there's... I like when the old heads do it, you know? I'm not an old head. The old heads bring more charm to it.
Well,
Roxy,
I
don't have the attention span for it.
Oh, that's a great character. Oh my. I consider it sort of a compliment, because I'm one of those old heads. I do like the old school for myself. You know what I mean? But.
Yeah.
But then again, I do like doing different projects. You know, I've been invited to do things with Weirdness Really Bad Movie and some other people. I've done some, how do you want to say it? Where a hostage, you know, a cooperative show where the, you know, two or more hosts get together and put shows. Those are fun, too.
Yeah.
Sometimes after you do that, you don't want to work with them anymore, but...
I have not had that happen to me yet. Thank heavens. I've had that happen with people that I personally knew on my own show.
I think
every horror host goes through that.
Yeah.
Where you have that partner you don't get along with anymore.
Yep. That does happen. Oh my. But life goes on, and again, I think it's refreshing that you're doing something different too. When we had the live stream thing going, I was getting some great. There was this fellow Robbie Gennett, and and he had a great song called "Come Down," and he made a video with it. You know, it's basically it was a love story vampire song. And really interesting.
Cool.
It's something different, you know. And he's an accomplished musician, so it was fun showing videos like that. And once in a while, you know, we have a public service announcement, and sometimes some famous people come here and have something.
Ladies and gentlemen, poison doesn't always come in bottles, and it isn't always marked with the skull and crossbones of danger. Poison can take the form of words and phrases and acts, the venom of racial and religious hatred. Here in the United States, perhaps more than ever before, we must learn to recognize the poison of prejudice and to discover the antidote to its dangerous effects. Evidences of racial and religious hatred in our country place a potent weapon in the hands of our enemies, providing them with the ammunition of criticism. Moreover, group hatred menaces the entire fabric of democratic life. As for the antidote, you can fight prejudice, first by recognizing it for what it is, and second, by actively accepting or rejecting people on their individual worth, and by speaking up against prejudice and for understanding. Remember, freedom and prejudice can't exist side by side. If you choose freedom, fight prejudice.
Thank you, Vincent. And imagine that.
I love Vincent.
Yeah, that's about 50 years old, and it's still applicable. That's a kind of a shame.
I always wanted to talk to Vincent Price on the phone. That's kind of like what just happened. That's awesome. Cross that one off my bucket list.
There you go. Yeah, you never know who's going to drop by, even from the great beyond.
Awesome.
We might be having people dropping by here soon. Who knows? Want to say hi real fast to the folks in the chat room. Dave Day, Evil Annie Reppert, and Heather McCook. Thank you for listening live.
Hey, Heather. Hey, Dave. Who was the other one?
Evil Annie Reppert.
Hello. Hello, everybody.
Yeah, thanks for listening live, and you can encourage your friends to check it out later. There's... links all over Facebook. Just check out Roxy's pages or Erie House and have them come in and listen. There's a lot of shows in the archive, too. Different topics, different guests. Every Friday at 7:30, we're doing old-time radio shows with my co-host, Dave Binkley, from Weirdness Really Bad Movie. Mm. End of commercial. Are there other, non-horror projects you're involved in as far as entertainment or pursuits?
Yeah, all last year we were actually shooting House of Horrors at the same time as Law of Perdition, which is my husband, Christian Jew Grillo's supernatural cop thriller. And, it was kind of hard for me to bounce between two shows, but nothing's ever hard for him, so... We were doing that, and the Sugar Skull Girls, our kids' movie, that came out last year. It's on Amazon Prime now. I play a witch.
Oh, neat.
And, yeah, and I'm going to be in...
And what's the title again?
The Sugar Skull Girls.
Ooh, I'll have to check that out.
Yeah, check out the Pale Witch. She's very Roxy-like, but in a more feminine way.
Uh-huh.
Yeah,
not
it's
as
pretty
brusque.
Fun. Yeah, well, she's quite a character on her own.
I will have to check that out on Amazon Prime, huh?
Yeah, please do.
I will.
Heather McCook in the chat room did my makeup for the Sugar Skull Girl. She did the Pale Witch makeup.
Yeah. You know, I just got to see, I can't remember if it was Netflix or Amazon Prime, but Mr. Lobo was in, I think it was the remake of Plan 9, was it?
Yeah. I didn't see that yet.
It's pretty cool. I believe it's still up there.
Oh, cool. I'm going to check it out.
It's either Netflix or Amazon Prime. I forget which, but it'll be fun. I'm going to experiment with my Roku box, my new Roku stick. My son just got for my birthday. I turned, 1,000 or so, and so he says.
Hey, you're getting fancy with the Roku. Oh.
Yeah. Coming into the 2000s here. Guess I'll have to take my antenna down. No, I'm kidding.
I've been, exploring the wonderful world of on-demand on cable. I'm like, wait a minute, you mean I don't have to watch the show when it comes on? I can watch it whenever I want? What?
Isn't it funny, though? It we have all these things that are at our fingertips now. Things like, Roku and Amazon Prime and Netflix and YouTube.
Yeah.
You can go in anytime. But isn't it funny how there is something special when it just comes on TV, your favorite film, whatever it is, or maybe a handful of films that you just stop what you're doing and go, yeah, I got to watch this. It's on now.
For me, that's Batman from 1989, but only when it's on a premium movie channel, not a channel that has commercials, because I get really mad when they edit it down for time.
Yeah. Well, that and some great examples are AMC. I do love them and it's ironic too, because the language in The Walking Dead is kind of rough. But they'll take things out of films. A great example is Ghostbusters. What the heck is a Wallowick?
when he
called that man he goes, yes, this man is a dick.
Yeah.
And he changed it on AMC to Wallowick, and it's like, wow. That's not funny.
No.
Lost the whole point of the joke, if you're worried about content, cut the whole thing out then and really tick me off.
Exactly.
No, I know exactly what you mean. But when it's on, it's been programmed by someone, there's something really, really special and fun about that. And that's why I liked working on a streaming channel, because you get to provide that for people, you know what I mean, and share the things that you like, whether it's a standard horror-hosted show or even an unhosted movie or an old horror television show or a great show like the new Roxy Tyler's House of Horrors, anything that fits in the genre.
It's a very great show. It's a great show.
Well, and I like that. I like sharing those things and you know what I mean? You've got something new and something different, and people should open their eyes to something. If you haven't seen Roxy's before, you'll really enjoy this.
Yeah, and the old episodes from Carnival of Horrors, they're still up on those channels, too. The same channels that House of Horrors is going to be on, so people can play catch-up and get to know the characters before the premiere.
What? You mean we get to binge-watch Roxy Tyler?
Yes, I mean, it's not on Roku. It's not fancy like Roku, but it is up on the internet.
Well, yeah, you can still grab a lot off of YouTube.
Yeah.
Those shows are out there, gang. And just so you know, if you're a new listener and you're not familiar, Roxy is spelled R-O-X-S-Y. Tyler, T-S-S-Y.
Thank you.
There you go. Oh, I know. Does that bother you when people leave out the S?
Yeah, actually. It does. It really bothers me. I don't even want to talk to them.
You do not exist.
I hate
Much
when,
like my F,
talking.
You do not exist.
Yeah, well, I hate when they do it on Facebook, while they're talking to me. It says my name right there. I'm not misspelling my own name. Do not autocorrect my name.
Yeah.
There's an S in there.
That's right, gay. Kiss her S.
Yes.
Right now.
Kiss it.
That's right. Oh, boy. Does that turn your house upside down, shooting at home?
A little bit. I mean, we make films in general, so we're kind of used to it. Like, I have a stepdaughter, and, like, if she comes out of her room and there's a camera crew in the living room, it doesn't really faze her, you know?
I know. I kind of feel like a geek nerd when I'm doing mine, because I'm the only one in the household in Castle K, as it were, that's really into this kind of stuff, but at least I have the satisfaction of knowing I'm hiding in my own basement, not my mother's.
Yeah, there you go. Optimism.
There you go. That's rose-colored glasses, folks. We were hoping Mr. Poten would give us a call, but...
I'm about to go yell at him, then. He's editing the show. You guys want to hear me... yell at Mr. Poten?
Yes, that would be fun. But if you, the listeners, Dave, Evil Annie, Heather McCrook, if you want to call
online. Why aren't you calling in?
Yeah, it's 646-378-0264. Call in now. We'll wait.
Yeah, like he said, call in now. We'll wait. Slackers. Well, he's got phone in his hand, so... that means he's calling.
That's all right.
He heard me coming
down.
Like, he was listening to it on his phone, and then when I opened the door, he's just sitting there smiling at
me. Sweet. It's funny that you mentioned the animated intro. It didn't hit me until you mentioned it here at the beginning of the show. How much it resembled, it was done in the style of Beetlejuice.
Yeah, that was completely the inspiration. There's a lot of Roxy things that were inspired by Beetlejuice. Like, I wear stripes all the time.
Hey, Roxy, we have a caller. I wonder who it might be.
I have a good idea, or...
Hello, caller. Welcome to E3 House Radio.
Speak.
Welcome. Enter. We know you're there. Breathe heavy.
Oh, my God.
Or not. Perhaps we're being punished. I don't know.
Yeah.
Oh, the call dropped. Maybe it was a bad connection.
Oh, okay.
Call back, caller, whomever you might have been.
I wonder who it was.
I don't know. But the number was similarly close to yours. Coincidence? Maybe.
I think not. Just saying.
I try this again.
There he is.
I hear
back.
Him.
You hear me now?
We can hear
you. Summoned, yes.
I'm just a bad husband sitting in the basement waiting to be called upon.
We don't have a basement. Well, we have half a basement, but you're not in the basement.
Hey, there's proof that we have a basement. You shot scenes of your show in it.
It's half a basement. It's the
basements
laundry room. It's the dirty laundry room. It's not the basement. Yeah.
So, Mr. Poten, welcome. How are you?
Thank you. I'm fine. How are you?
I'm breathing. They say that's good. I don't know.
Yeah, there you go. Well, here I am. Entertain me.
Well, we were hoping we could get your slant on the new show, Roxy Tyler's House of Horrors. Wonderful music, by the way.
Thank you. I don't really do much music in the new show.
You did the intro and you did the interview music. There's There's quite a few Mr. Potan songs in there.
I think everything I did on that opening credits will be suffice for the whole season.
You didn't just do the music either. You're one of the producers. He's the camera guy.
He's the stalker. I'm the stalker.
All of our camera guys actually take turns being stalker, the character of stalker. But Mr. Potent's in the show too. And
technically, according to Horror Society, I'm the star of the show.
Are you now?
That's what it said on Horror Society.
Oh, okay. You trying to get Mike
it's on,
in trouble?
Baby.
Because it's called Mr. Potent's House of Horrors.
Nah, I'm not taking that.
Hey, it's Potent
He's
Media.
He's so excited. He's so excited to be on the show. Can't you just hear it?
I'm waiting for the next trivial question that I can answer and enlighten the world with my whimsical answers.
What are you wearing?
What am I wearing?
Yeah. I wanted to give you a trivial question.
Cologne.
Nothing but a smile.
Roxy hasn't laid out my outfit for the day, so I haven't dressed yet.
That's early yet. did you guys work together to come up with this idea, or did or
which one, Roxy?
The House of Horrors.
No,
the
this
idea
is,
was
this is all Carmella.
Yeah, well, it was my idea, but Mr. Potan brought it to life and made it possible.
I hit record, and I didn't do much.
Stop it.
Well, all right, then I'll give all the credit to John then. John Martineau did a great job on our show.
Yes,
he was a great cameraman, and yeah, all
he
of the credit.
Okay, I feel like Letterman
yeah.
right now.
What are you guys laughing at?
I'm laughing at you. I'm laughing with you. Sorry.
How many buttons did we lose on set because of John?
You'd have to ask John. I don't know. Ask Chuck.
I want to hear about these lost buttons.
a couple people on the cast like to they like to tease John and say that he's fat.
Yeah,
I don't think he's
not. We do not promote anti-bullying on the show.
No, we don't. There was even a part where Chuck called him the Michelin manager when he was playing the manager.
No. Brutal.
Yeah.
Excellent.
We abuse each other on set all the time.
As good friends and good associates should do. even former friends. a docu-comedy Roxy Tyler's House of Horrors coming out this January 28th. That is a Saturday, 2 weeks from tonight.
Yes, it is. Yep. Coming up fast.
Whee! There you go.
Mr. Potan, you don't have to stay on the phone if you don't want to. I know you're busy.
I like being here now. I feel like part of the gang.
Oh, okay. I'm just saying, I'm not forcing you to stay here.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
I was waiting for the next question about Potan Media.
Well, I talked about Sugar Skull Girls. I talked about Law of Perdition. You want to tell Dale and the listeners about Law of Perdition?
If they're interested, this is your spotlight tonight, sweetheart.
I'm very interested.
Law of Perdition is going to be a 4-season cop show with a supernatural edge to it. It's about a detective whose cold cases are coming back from the dead as ghosts to help him solve their case so they can move on to wherever they're supposed to go.
Ooh, and where can people see this? This sounds really good.
This will be on Amazon Prime when it's released, and then Blu-ray shortly afterwards. It's going to be released by our distributor, SGL Entertainment.
And give us the title again.
Law of Perdition.
Law of Perdition.
Yeah, we'll be putting out some previews in a little bit. Once we're pretty much wrapped up with all the post-production, which is where we're at right now, we'll be putting out a trailer or some type of a preview of the series. It's a 9-episode series for season 1. Episodes are 15 minutes long. It's like a dramatic cop show with ghosts.
Mm-hmm.
That leaves room for a lot of stories. That's going to be an interesting wrinkle on not only police stories, but on the horror genre.
Mm-hmm. And we actually know a few cops, so we actually get a lot of good inside intel on terminology.
That's great. Have you taken any, or shall I, let me rephrase this a little differently. Have you been inspired at all by real-life crime stories that it would be great if they had been solved, something like the Black Dahlia or, you know, some of the other famous murders or...
The only real life stuff that I would say that I'm inspired by is Chicago PD.
Not real life.
Lately, there's been a lot to work with in Chicago as far as crime of that nature, unfortunately. Not to make light of it, because it's a real serious thing, but I like this idea. Do you have any people you want to credit, like actors or other people that, you know, you've associated with that?
No, not really.
Okay.
Well, I'm in it.
Thanks for stopping by. Have a great day.
I would like
Good night,
to
folks.
Edit something. It's a TV series that I just sprung upon my wife with this idea that, hey, I want to make my own cop show. And like 2 months later, we were in pre-production. That's kind of how I come up with stuff, and I just thrust it into her lap. She plays a character on there that's actually the main detective's daughter, and they have a very dysfunctional relationship, to say the least. The main character in it, his name is Detective Petrowski. He's played by Andrew Hunsicker, and he plays opposite Captain Beverly, who is Michael Johnson. And the cold case file for season 1, which is Angel America, we have Evangeline Young playing the lead. And it's a really, really dramatic 9-episode series with a very crushing ending.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. This whole genre of these stories, it just lends itself to so many opportunities for not only fear and fright, but like you said, some emotional wrecking crew action. And this is something to look forward to. So look at that, folks. In one radio show, we got two wonderful new productions to look forward to. Roxy Tyler's House of Horrors and Law of Perdition coming to Amazon Prime.
If I could say something interesting, with season 1 of Law of Perdition, I played it very close to the vest as far as the shooting style. I did very basic shots. After shooting Roxy Tyler's House of Horrors, I got inspired by a new shooting style that Carmella actually had us do for her show, where we shoot a lot with one camera. And instead of cutting, we just whip to the next shot, which I'm going to be introducing into season 2 of Law of Perdition, which actually is a lot more of a cop show style anyway. I think shooting her show this year really got me out of my comfort zone.
I think I got a lot of people out of their comfort zones. I got David out of his comfort zone with the animation. I got Chris, well, Mr. Potent and John Martineau out of their comfort zones when they were on the cameras. Like, I'm always that person in Potent Media that's like, hey, we never did this before, so let's do this. And then it's really hard at first, and then it's magic in the end.
Yeah, I was going to say, do you think that sometimes coming out of your comfort zone, I know it works for me personally sometimes, sometimes not. Sometimes it's a nightmare disaster. But sometimes it brings out the best in you because you're challenged.
Yeah, I mean, it's a yes and no for me because I know with acting, when I'm out of my comfort zone, I'm not acting as great as I could be. Like, I don't like playing normal characters. Like, I don't like playing someone's daughter or some neighbor next door or some girl at a job in a coffee shop. I don't like playing those characters. I like to play witches, serial killers, narcissistic assholes like Roxy Tyler. That's what I like. And when I'm doing that, I'm comfortable and it comes out good. But the other stuff takes work, a lot of work for me. Like, I mean, it all takes work, but it takes additional work to do the other stuff. Mr. Potent, were you going to say something too?
Yeah, I don't remember.
I'm sorry.
Wait,
it works for
age.
Him when I push him out of his comfort zone.
Oh, I remember what I was going to say. I was going to say that with Carmella being so at the forefront of production for her series and then understanding that part of it when she's working on another set, I think it's allowed her to see where she can push in different directions of ways that we haven't done, where somebody who is less experienced wouldn't even know. And because of that, I like that collaboration because then it opens my eyes to, like, it's more like the band environment where you have other members in the band saying, hey, well, what if we did this riff instead with that beat that you came up with? It makes you see outside of your own thoughts. And I like that. It took us a long time to even get to this point, but we are.
Mr. Potent works amazing in general, but when I push him out of his comfort zone, he's even more amazing. So he's one of those people who can work out of his comfort zone, and it turns out great.
Good. I'm like 50-50. Sometimes that's exactly what I need to be pushed out, but sometimes I get, even defensive in a way where it's like, no, I know what I'm doing, and I can't do this, or yes, I'm good at this. You know what I mean? Whether it's yes, I can, or no, I can't, I'm pretty adamant most of the time, but sometimes I need to be pushed out.
Yeah, I get that. I'm like 50-50 with it, too. Sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't.
Are you planning, how far ahead is the planning? Just season one right now for House of Horrors, or is that something you or have enough material written for quite a while yet?
Well, I wrote a lot of episodes, but none of them were finalized except for the ones that we already did. Right now it's only season one, but I'm hoping that we can do a season two and a season three. Like, if I can get at least three or four seasons out of it, I'll be happy. But I'm going to take my time about putting them out because the way that we shot, like, it takes a lot of different footwork and lighting that we're not used to because of the running and gunning shooting style. We're not a big production. We don't have a well-lit studio or anything. So I want to make it even better for the second season. So I'm going to take the time with it.
How about Law of Perdition? Is that something that we can expect to maybe persist for a while?
The plan is to do four seasons, one each season representing the four seasons of the year. And, throughout the four seasons, and it's not a spoiler, it's going to be a well-known thing, but the main character is actually dying through all four seasons. And it's like the last, represents the last year of his life and his communication with the dead. So we are set to do four seasons. I usually do what I'm set out to do. We've done it so cheaply this season. We did a whole entire season for $3,500, and it looks and sounds phenomenal. So there's no reason to stop doing it.
That is great. I wish you both a ton of success on these going forward.
Thank you.
And I'm becoming a fan of your music. I know you downplayed it a little earlier, Mr. Potent, but we'll play something here in the background a little bit. The file was called Roxy and Me Jammy. It's got a great punk style. And I just want to share this with the listeners. You write a lot of music?
He writes music all the time.
He does all the music for all of our films and stuff.
Are you comfortable doing live music, Mr. Potent?
I actually, my background is from music. That's how I got into movies and television production. I've been doing music for 25 years. I've been in bands, and I used to have an established recording studio in Philadelphia.
Oh, that's pretty cool. Before my horror host life, I had a disc jockey company, and I love working with a live audience. It's neat because you can get a feel for how the room is going, you know, your audience.
Yeah, you know, it's just a dying art.
Well, with the advent of the internet, it sure is. We lost Roxy there for a minute, but she's back.
I'm back. Welcome. You can't ever lose me.
Like a bad penny keeps turning up.
Yep. Exactly.
Tell me a little bit more about Sugar Skull Girls. Who, by the way, Dave thinks is awesome.
Oh,
we
good. Thanks,
awesome.
Dave. Dave Day.
Oh. What? I don't even know what to tell you about it. It was the first movie that we wanted to do that wasn't geared for an adult crowd. Potent Media has always been labeled as a horror movie company. I mean, everybody always says, oh, yeah, you're the horror guy. And I'm like, I'm really not. I've always been labeled as it because horror is always the easiest way to promote your stuff. So I always leave a good, you know, icing of horror on every cake that I bake. But everything that I've made really isn't what I even consider horror. I mean, Sugar Skull Girls is a children's film with a horror, quirky root to it. You know, one girl's a vampire, the other girl's a ghost. Is it horror? You know, like, so I just use it as a way to promote, and it's fun. I mean, I'm a Halloween kid. I grew up, that was my favorite holiday, so I just don't see that stuff as being horror that we get labeled as.
It's a popular genre, and I think, you know, your characters lend itself to being, you know, typified with that genre of horror. It's you could call it an offshoot, I suppose.
Yeah. So,
it has, you know, elements of horror characters.
Right. We wanted to make a kids movie that was very potent media. And I wanted to be able to appeal to adults to where they would see some of the familiar horror cast like Michael Berryman, Leslie Easterbrook, you know, people that they've seen in, you know, Devil's Rejects and, you know, got Star Trek and Weird Science and all these different movies, Police Academy. And put John Amplis in there. He was from Day of the Dead, Dawn of the Dead, Martin, Fame. And just basically did the whole Mean Girls trip where we just made a kids movie that was very tongue-in-cheek and had a lot of forced humor.
Yeah. Berryman's such a nice man. You're lucky to have worked with him. I saw him at a horror convention. And, you know, he was working his table. He leaps from behind and gets down on his knees next to a girl in a wheelchair. And they were just having this really pleasant, intimate conversation. And I thought, how charming. He must be approachable. And he was kind enough, you know, after his conversation with this little girl, he was kind enough to make a promotion for the former channel that we had here, Creepy Castle. Just a really nice man.
Yeah, Michael's cool. He's a storyteller, so whenever he's on set and he's hanging out with the cast and crew, he's always got a story that he's telling everybody. It's a neat guy.
Anything you can share?
I'll tell you one funny little moment that I actually had with Michael Berryman. I had picked him up from the airport, and I was taking him to his hotel. And on the way there, I actually had to drive through my neighborhood, and I got pulled over for not coming to a complete stop at a stop sign. Obviously, I'm right in my own neighborhood, so I'm very comfortable driving around. And this cop pulls me over and gave me a ticket with Michael Berryman sitting in the passenger seat.
A friend of mine, known as Dr. Ghoulfinger out in California, he was on television for about a year. He's really enamored of the Cleveland area where I'm from. The Ghoul, Son of Ghoul, Ghoulardi, he's well-versed on these. He told me a story about Sid Haig that was a little bit similar to yours, but a little bit different. They were going out to eat, and they're in the car. And I guess in the car next to him there were these young kids, and one of them was sort of staring at Sid Haig. So Sid gets out of the vehicle and starts screaming at him, "What are you looking at? What the F are you looking at?" And they laughed like loons, hopped back in the car and ran away, or drove away rather. And could you imagine how those kids felt?
Oh boy.
Because even as old as he is, Sid Haig's kind of an imposing figure. You know what I mean? He's got that biker look, feel to him.
Yeah. I don't know. I never felt a biker.
Well, I got a little bit of that of his character from Devil's Rejects. You know what I mean? With
Yeah.
His reactions with Ken Foray those were fun movies. But once again, thank you both for calling, and I want to thank the listeners, Dave Day, Evil Annie Reppert, for stopping in. Plus those of you that I can't see. Thank you so much for listening live.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks for having us.
No problem.
Yeah, it was fun.
So you've got these things going on. I don't imagine there's much more on the... I don't know. Roxy tells me you're full of a lot of energy.
A little bit, I guess. I don't sit still very much. I'm actually rendering out my show right now for previews.
Some of the most creative people are like that. They're just absolutely tireless. If you've never seen Weirdness, Really Bad Movie, my co-host when I do the old-time radio shows, Dave Binkley, is like that. He's cranks out a lot of shows. He's not like your standard horror host. He shows other non-horror, like, mystery and murder films, too, that are in the public domain.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
it's cool.
It's
very family-friendly. You know what I mean? I can enjoy an adult show, but it's charming to see somebody still doing family-friendly shows out there, too.
Well, my show is definitely not family-friendly, the new one.
Yeah, well, that's fine.
I think it depends on whose family.
Yeah, it's family-friendly in our house. If
that's
any inclination.
Well, as I mentioned, I'm like 1,000, so. But I like adult humor, too. I'm not a prude, that's for sure. Anybody who's hung out with me can tell you.
I think about half my show takes place in the bathroom. Roxy Tyler's bathroom of horrors.
The other half takes place in the dining room.
Well, if we're doing bathroom horror, maybe you guys can help me with something.
Okay.
Why isn't nuclear shielding made of corn?
I don't know.
Well, see, corn can pass through an entire human body and not be changed in any way. It seems to me it could repel just about anything.
You're on to something there. These questions and more.
That's right. To be explored in the bathrooms of poor people. And
I don't eat corn. That's good.
Yeah, Mr. Potent can't eat corn, unfortunately.
You're probably
so he hasn't had
off.
That experience. Yeah, I think I would say he is.
You're better off. It's a bad thing. It's a bad, bad thing. Look what candy corns did for Michael Myers in the Rob Zombie version. Pushed him over the edge.
I think when you eat corn, though, it should come out as popcorn. That's what I think.
Well, perhaps with the right muscle control.
Yeah, you know what? I'm gonna make it happen. I don't know how I'm gonna make it happen, but I'm gonna make it happen someday.
People in Indianapolis like
it'll be called poop corn. Bathroom humor here on Erie House Radio with Roxy Tyler and Mr. Potent.
They like
I hope I get like what was that?
Corn in the Midwest, that's all that's out there.
Oh, yeah, they, oh, my God, do they? So
oh, tell me about
fields.
It. I'm in Ohio, and once you get
and
out of the city,
deer.
That's it.
Corn and
on
dead
our way
deer.
From, yeah, Ohio was like, when we went to Horror Hound, like, it seemed like Ohio was just full of dead deer everywhere.
Yeah.
And then
I live out
when,
in the country more, and it's something else. We have six of them right now living right in town. I mean, it's not that small
wow.
of a town. There's like maybe 10,000. But they, like, own the street pretty much.
Yeah, they're a gang.
They run in a mob.
Yeah.
Deer meat's good. How come nobody's eating them?
That's a good question. Although, there's...
That's a good question. Why are they running the town? They should be being eaten.
Oh, I know. This is a country town, and there's a lot of hunting, but you can't shoot in city limits. Then these guys come
walk them into my house, right?
There you go. What happens behind my door is what happens behind my door. You could actually, if you had a crossbow, you could just hunt, put out a lounge chair and just hunt back here.
I like deer meat.
I like
do
deer
have
meat
pro-
too.
They do have programs. We have so many here that they do have programs where they hire people to shoot them, and then they deliver the venison to, like, places where they feed the poor.
To people in Langhorne?
Yes.
Yeah, we'd like some of that. We would like to be in on that.
Put us on the delivery list, please.
Yes.
Well, there's like a little bit more than a minute left to go. Anything else you want to add about the new show that maybe we haven't covered? Can you sing?
I think we pretty much covered everything, I think. Mr. Potent, anything you could think of? What?
Tell people about the nudity.
Well, only Chuck really gets nude in the one scene, so... No, there's not that much new. There's a whole lot of cursing and toilet humor and violence. All the good stuff, you know.
All the things that make life worth living.
All the food groups are there.
Oh, God. A well-balanced diet.
Yeah.
Well, thanks again.
There you go. Well, I can tell you what you can expect from House of Horrors. Like I told you, we have a Valentine's Day episode airing. There's one episode that's going to be in April where Roxy's forced to have a ladies' night.
Okay. Well, hold on one moment because we got a little bonus time coming up, but I got about 5 seconds left to thank the live listeners again. And those of you in the archives, stick around for a little bit of bonus time here on Erie House Radio. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
And we're still being recorded, but... There you go. No, we're still being recorded, but people have to go in the archive if they want to listen. And I think we just lost Mr. Potent. I think he's done.
Yeah. I think he
so
was done as soon as he rung in.
Yeah. Oh, kind,
I don't think
kind
he wanted to be on the phone.
By,
yeah,
kind
it was.
Stop by. And
I like
to
do everything with him.
I know. It was interesting to hear his hear about his new show, Law of Perdition. I want to see that too.
Yeah, I'll let you know when it's on Amazon Prime. We don't have a date for it yet.
Okay. Yeah, shoot me a message or something. And again, anything you guys want to promote on my pages, that's fine. I have no problem with that.
Cool. Thank you so much.
Yeah, either on Dale K. Spook Show, Eerie House, or my personal page. I have no problem with that at all.
Thank you.
Yeah. You know, it's all about keeping everybody informed and enjoying the different things that are out there in the genre. So thanks again, and I'll wish the folks listening here in bonus time a great night. I'll be back next Friday with oldie-timey radio here on Blog Talk Radio, and it's Eerie House. Thanks again, everyone. Bye-bye.